The new Congress will still be facing a troubled housing market. Foreclosures remain at record highs, and new numbers from the Census Bureau show that the nation's homeownership rate continues to sink. NPR's Chris Arnold reports.
The home ownership rate in the U.S. has fallen to 66.9%. The last time the rate was lower than that was in 1999. That's not really a big surprise. During the housing bubble, the rate had risen as high as 69%, but that was back when people were buying homes with pretty crazy adjustable mortgages that they couldn't afford. Bruce Marks heads up the homeownership advocacy group, the Neighborhood Assistance Corporation of America.
What it shows is that over the last 10 years that it was not true homeownership. It was a homeownership deception scheme that put billions of dollars into the pockets of Wall Street executives and the banks.
But right now, economists say the country is still facing upwards of 4 or 5 million more foreclosures. Many homeowners have lost their jobs or are working fewer hours.
By having so many foreclosures on the horizon, we're going to overcorrect, and the market will go even lower than it would normally go. Prices will just do a downward spiral, and we won't have a functioning market out there.
So Marx and some prominent economists are hoping that lawmakers can come up with some bolder programs than we've seen so far to lower homeowners' interest rates and prevent more foreclosures. Chris Arnold, NPR News.
A congressional campaign marked by stunningly divisive rhetoric ended last night on a note of agreement. Okay, agreement is too strong a word, but lawmakers of different parties at least began to talk of how they might address a common problem.
Let's listen to two politicians who joined our live election coverage last night and spoke with our colleague Robert Siegel. The first is Republican Mike Lee.
What I want to avoid at all costs is mortgaging the future of our unborn grandchildren. It simply isn't fair. It's not American. It's not right.
Mike Lee is a Tea Party candidate who won a Senate seat from Utah. He favors a balanced budget, avoiding any more government debt, which raised a question.
Are you prepared to go to the brink in Washington and take it to the point of government closure if need be?
Well, look, we can all talk about the possibility of closure, but the fact is there are ways of avoiding that, and I think we need to push for an automatic continuing resolution so that in the event that the Congress and the President aren't able to achieve agreement on a budget, that they can move forward with something that just continues to fund the government with last year's budget until such time as they can pass a real budget.
And does that mean extend the debt ceiling, the debt limit as well, to avoid that kind of catastrophic shutdown?
No, I think we can do that with and avoid the debt ceiling, but I think we're going to have to make some cuts.
What you hear there is a new senator wrestling with a dilemma. He doesn't want to add any debt, but also doesn't want to go too far.
Mike Lee knows that when Republicans shut down the government in the 1990s, it was politically disastrous. Also last night, we heard from Richard Durbin of Illinois, who is the number two Democrat in the Senate.
We need to sit down and work out an agreement, giving on both sides, to find a compromise that keeps this economy and country moving forward.
What could you give? What could Democrats give in those conversations?
We're going to be giving on spending, I'm sure. I can see that the president's budget numbers, we will be cutting back from those as we already have, maybe even deeper. And spending cuts are part of the road toward deficit reduction. I will add, though, and this is a minority position, that if we take too much money out of the economy at this moment in time before we've recovered from this recession, we run a very real risk of plummeting again into a bad economic circumstance.
You're speaking of
the conversation continued, as it will in Washington, D.C. next year. In the statements of Richard Durbin and Mike Lee, you hear some agreement of the broad direction the federal budget needs to go.
You also hear some hints of disagreement on how to handle the vast job ahead, reducing trillion-dollar deficits without harming the economy in a poisonous political environment.
And to find out more about how those big budgetary questions will play out, we turn to David Wessel. He's economics editor of the Wall Street Journal. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, first I say will play out. How about might play out? But let's get some thoughts here. First, the current Democratic-controlled Congress will be there for two more months. I mean, is it possible, David, that they would do anything significant?
Oh, yes, I think they'll have to. I mean, Congress passed a temporary spending bill for the current fiscal year, and that expires December 2nd. And as as without action, the government will shut down. As Senator-elect Lee said, the Republicans have decided to avoid that. So at the very least, the lame duck session will have to fund the government temporarily. And emboldened Republicans, though still a minority, may try and deliver a down payment on their promises of spending cuts. The other big thing, of course, is that President Bush's income tax cuts expire at the end of the year, unless Congress extends them. The betting right now is that Congress will act in the lame duck to extend them all temporarily. And there's a chance, but only a chance, that maybe they'll do something more, like some of the business tax cuts that President Obama proposed.
So, but let's look ahead to January when the newly divided Congress gets to work. What are we likely to see in the way of priorities?
Well, the Republicans campaigned very clearly on cutting spending and keeping taxes down, but that was all generalities. The Republican House leaders had this pledge to America that talked about cutting $100 billion in spending the first year. They said there'd be what they called common sense exceptions for seniors, for veterans, and defense, and homeland security. Well, they're going to have to pick some losers now, and it's a lot harder to cut spending specifically than in general. Of course, even if they zero out all these domestic spending bills that they like to attack, there'd still be a big deficit. The big bucks are in Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and no politician likes to talk about cutting them during an election. Repealing the Obama health bill isn't going to solve the deficit either. And then they're going to have to come to terms with the tax question. Are they really against all tax increases, even those that would involve closing loopholes and eliminating credits? Because it's going to be very hard to get the deficit down without doing some of that.
Later today, the Federal Reserve is expected to announce action to stimulate the economy. Will this election affect what the Fed does?
Well, that's a good question. The short answer is not now. The Fed is looking at gridlock in Congress, and Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke figures he has to do something to give the economy a lift. So the Fed most likely will announce that they're going to buy another $500 billion worth of U.S. Treasury bonds to try and push long-term interest rates even lower and make people borrow, encourage people to borrow a little more. It's not clear it'll do much, but as I say, he figures doing nothing is the wrong thing. But going forward, the Fed has to take into account, is Congress going to cut taxes or cut spending or whatever? My guess is that they'll have to make some assumptions, but we'll see much more from Bernanke about why cutting the budget deficit is important. He was kind of quiet on that during the campaign. He didn't want to get caught up in it, but he thinks the deficit is too big, and that makes things, puts the economy at risk. And I expect he'll toughen his anti-deficit rhetoric quite a bit in the next couple of months.
David, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
David Wessel is economics editor of The Wall Street Journal.
Of course, the weak economy played a central role in this election, and here's a sampling of voter sentiments.
It's not good. It's not good. A lot of people are standing around with their hands in their pocket. There's a lot of people hurt, a lot of people out of work.
I lost an enormous amount of money because of the economy. They haven't done anything about it.
Look at the bailout. Look at the issues that have been coming up with mortgages. And I don't think either party represents us. And I also think government is too big.
The taxes just are driving me crazy. Both, you know, personal taxes and other taxes, and I can't be taxed anymore. I know that.
Views from Billy Kirkby in Indianapolis, Donna Mosier of Columbus, Ohio, Anthony Ashurst of Chicago, and Ron Nagel of Wisconsin. This is NPR News.
The Federal Reserve is going back for more ammunition to try to get the economy moving. Today, Fed officials announced they plan to buy $600 billion of long-term Treasury bonds over the next 8 months. The aim is to bring down interest rates, as NPR's Tamara Keith reports.
When the Fed uses phrases like disappointingly slow, that's not exactly a ringing endorsement of the economic recovery.
The unemployment rate is unacceptably high. And they're actually even worried that inflation is too low.
Ann Owen is a professor of economics at Hamilton College and a former Fed economist. She says given the state of the economy, the Fed had to do something. Normally, it would lower the target for the Fed funds rate, a short-term interest rate.
But that's already down at zero, so they can't lower it anymore.
The program announced today takes aim at long-term interest rates. Each month through June, the Fed plans to buy $75 billion worth of Treasury bonds from banks and other investors that hold them. Using money it creates out of thin air, because the Fed can just do that. Owen says buying all those bonds should bring long-term interest rates down.
They're trying to change the economic behavior of consumers and firms. They're trying to get them to spend more. So one way of doing that is to lower the cost of their spending by lowering interest rates.
But it's a pretty blunt tool, one that the Fed doesn't have much experience with. Some worry it could create a bubble or cause inflation problems a few years from now. Even people who support the Fed's action aren't sure it will work. James Hamilton is a professor of economics at UC San Diego.
It will help make loans more available to small businesses. It will make it a little bit easier for people to refinance. But let's not have illusions about it solving all our problems, because it won't.
The fact that the Fed is even trying something so untested is further proof that there's no easy fix for these economic problems. Tamara Keith, NPR News, Washington.